Kuzumon Zespa, a Mandalorian. Wars over, I'm a piece of Mandalorian. Historian, some Star Wars historians. Deep in the debate, stuff they play at Benegans. Round renegade, show to penetrate. First and second defense, I won't hesitate. Got a Jabba do in darks, the guy that delegates. Got something against Skywalker, someone he really hates. I don't give a fuck, I'm after Solo. For all I carry, could be hiding Yoda's dojo. Gotta make the money, credit's no good. When the Jabba's run a shop in your neighborhood. Degenerate defender of the devil, shuts down all the trash compactors on the detention level. My backpack got jets. Well, I'm Boba, well, I bet. Well, I bounty hunt for Jabba Hutt to finance my bet. Well, I chill in deep space. A map is over my face.
Dual mute on the new Vonage, baby. Oh, yeah. Give me a buzz and we can test the shit out late.
No caps, unlimited long distance.
And it will never end, as far as you know?
It will never end. It will never
DJ
end.
Mollet.
The tone you will hear next will be the standard pitch.
Provider to Quest Long Distance?
Yes.
You're giving your permission to change your local long distance provider to Quest Long Distance, correct?
Yes.
I think Quest Unlimited plan of $30 per month for the first 12 months with unlimited residential state-to-state, in-state, and if selected local toll voice calls within the United States, correct?
Whoa, for the first 12 months?
That's what it tells me.
Not worshipping at Stank Dog's forums or watching everything that he does trying to learn how to be an elite hacker, I'm recording you a Dairy Fresh edition of Radio Freak America, like this one.
This is 87, Bland?
Yes.
80 frickin' 7. 87 episodes of RFA. Damn. We'll be at 100 before you know it. I'm Duel, and this is RFA. I'm joined by Bland.
My backpack's got jets, because I'm Boba the Fett.
Yeah! You heard some nerdcore opening the show, and you'll hear it ending the show. Shouts to Fiend turning us on to that. And we have a special guest. I wanted to get him on for a long time, and he's here now. Logic, what's up?
How goes it?
It goes well. We are recording. We've got a lot to cover. We've got some special topics this fine show. I want to start with Walmart. That's right, a little PWF action. Everybody's heard of this. 250 arrested at Walmart. That's right. I heard like 300, actually, up to 300. Washington, CNN, federal officials raided Walmart stores across the U.S. Thursday, arresting about 250 illegal immigrants working on cleaning crews at 61 stores in 21 states. Unbelievable. I am shocked. The federal agents picked up undocumented workers from Mexico, Eastern Europe, and other countries who were employed by several contractors used by the world's largest retailer, and that is the truth. Many of those arrested in the crackdown, which officials called, check this, Operation Rollback. you never heard that. Is it annoying? Is it just me that they adopted the smiley face, right? The basically open source icon, right, as their logo. I guess they didn't want to pay some guy to draw a little cartoony, you know, Walmart, whatever they would use. I did not swear, by the way.
Oh, you tried really hard to.
I did not. We're trying not to swear, Logic. You can, though. You're a guest. Swear all you want. Feel free.
I might.
That's, yeah, you might, but you got to talk about. It goes on to say, check this out. We are, quote, we are always looking at companies that are knowingly exploiting people for the purpose of making money, Courtney said. Courtney is...
a new best friend.
Yeah, Garrison Courtney is spokesman for the Bureau of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. The raid started at 4 a.m. and ended about 5 hours later. Let's see, they went to about... how many? They already said how many stores and how many states. I want to get to the good stuff here, and that is la la la, da 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 da, yada da. Ah, here we go. But federal, anyways. So they weren't Walmart employees; they were contractors, right? Cleaning contractors. Who knows what else? So none of the people arrested were Walmart employees hired by the company to work in its stores. She said, whoever that is. But federal law enforcement officials said information from an undercover investigation revealed that some Walmart executives and some store managers knew of the immigration violations.
Not Walmart?
No! It could not be! Yeah, well, it is. And what is it? Check out this quote. It looks like... it looks like these illegal workers were hired by contractors and not directly by Walmart. Is this really bad press or slightly bad press? I think it's the latter, said Mark Mandel, analyst with Baylock and Partners. If Walmart was hiring from sweatshops, that would be much worse. Ha ha! Guess what? It is worse. If you don't think that Walmart isn't getting products from sweatshops somewhere in the world, I think you're wrong. I think you're really wrong. I don't know this for a fact. Maybe it's conspiracy theory, but if you think, you know, this is nothing to Walmart, right? It's, you know, it's dropping a bucket of the fines that they'll probably incur. You know, they'll do anything. If this doesn't show that they'll do anything, that they'll slit somebody's throat to make a buck, I don't know what would. I really don't. This is PWF, baby. That's why we're here. That's why we've got that information. And we've got a lot of information to put up. I haven't had time, but it's going to go up. We've got payphone numbers. I've been thinking, right? The last email I got, somebody, you know, I've had a few, actually, of these, you know, heart-wrenching stories of Walmart stomping on people, right? Employees, customers. I'm thinking about including those in PWF.
That's a good idea.
I think so, too.
Maybe we should mail one to David Glass.
Which is...
CEO, president and CEO of Walmart International.
Oh, he is. So the Waltons don't just run this top to bottom?
Nope.
I did not know that. I did not. I should get into more research, right? Instead of messing around with their payphones, right? I should get deep into Walmart. No, I don't think I will.
Messing around with their payphones is very important.
Yeah, and it's much more fun. It's much more fun.
That too. You don't have to spend time with Walmartians.
What? Yeah, Snake really liked that, by the way.
Yeah.
He really got off on that. The Nerdcore, I dig that a lot. Actually, Fiend played some of that for me at 2600 meeting. Very cool. Thank you, Bland, for suggesting that for the show.
I love it.
Yeah.
The thing about Nerdcore is it just gets in your head and just will not let you go.
Hence the quote.
Yeah. It's just like, you just listen to it, and you're just instantly compelled to listen to that song 15 times in a row. Right. And the thing, the cool thing about it, being a musician, and we didn't show notes this, but BlandInquisitor.com is coming, and I'm going to be doing a lot of interesting musical things, and that'll pretty much be the main thrust of the site. There'll be some hacking things that me and you put together, of course, but pretty much the main thrust will be like just a place for all this weird and crazy music that comes out of my head.
I like that. You're a damn fine musician, by the way.
Thank you. And the romantic notion is that I'm a nerd, and I like rap music, and I make music. And so you know, the romantic notion is that this man, you know, these men and women, I'm sure, but the ones, all the ones I've heard have been male, these people just sat down at their box, you know, opened up some loops, you know, and then just started flowing with it, you know, off the top of their head. And these aren't, you know, Puff Daddy didn't discover these people, Clear Channel didn't manufacture these people. It's people making music from their hearts and from their brains. And that is great. And I will support any of these people as far as I can.
Yeah, and anything with Boba Fett in it is like, you know, right here, bro.
Anyone that raps about Boba Fett, a stuck caps lock key, and CPU cycles is awesome.
Yes, I concur. Now, there's some other audio that we have, you know, now had the pleasure to enjoy, and that is the H2K2 panels MP3s. They are now up. You can also buy video VCDs, which Rax shot a lot of, by the way. For $5 a pop. You can buy the whole set for like $2, I think.
That's 200.
What's that?
That's 200.
Yeah, $200. So maybe that's a good deal, maybe not. You're on a PCS, right?
At PCS.
Yeah, actually, okay, it does. That sounds pretty good. You have good luck with your PCS phone?
Usually. Right now I'm sitting around in Gilbert, so who knows?
You're kind of on the outskirts then.
Yep.
No doubt. Well, H2K2 audio, there's a lot of it now. There's what, 70-something MP3s?
66.
60 from the man who knows.
Yeah.
And Bland knows because he wrote a great script, right? He had the idea, right? He built the foundation. The idea to, hey, I want to automate this so I can, you know, leave it running overnight, if I'm correct, and get all this audio.
Yeah.
You don't want to babysit your CD. So you wrote your
first H2K2 grabber. So.
That's right. And that's your first script, right?
Yes, I've written one other script my entire life, and all it pretty much was, it was she bang bin bash, and the next line was apt-get update and apt-get upgrade and apt-get dist upgrade. And I put it in root's path so that whenever I'm root, wherever I'm at, I can just type the word upgrade and it runs through and does all that for me.
I use that, by the way. Thank you very much.
Problem.
So now why are we bringing all this up? Yeah, so Bran, you know, he wrote a great script. That's nice. I'll use it, and you know, I'll get all that audio. Well, it actually became the model of open source, right? Much like Linus, Bland created the kernel, right? He created the script, and then everybody said, "Well, yeah, that's awesome. That's a great idea. Here's what I would do. Here's a change, right? All the way down." To Cheese's, I guess as I say it, CHZ, his one-liner, right? A wget one-liner. Things that I didn't know or know how to use, wget, right? And it was beautiful. I thought it was beautiful.
Oh, I did too, and I learned something about programming. I mean, programming in general, not just the obvious that I learned about shell scripting and learned, you know, what the limitations of wget are and what the limitations of what bash will actually do for you. I learned all that, and that's the stuff that I expected to learn. But the main programming nugget that I've assimilated, that I've really, it's really hit home, it's really become a part of me now, is that whenever you program something, whenever you write a script or do anything that references a program, that references an outside program. Like my script references wget. Okay, it calls wget while it runs.
Right.
It's always good, and this is gonna, you know, Fuji Hal's gonna laugh, but it's always good to know as much as you can about your requisite, you know, about the program. If you call wget, and instead of, you know, what I did, I went to the H2K2 panels page. Right-clicked on all the MP3 links in Mozilla Firebird and copy link location and pasted it into gedit and then put a shebang at the top, a couple of masturbatorial echo lines, and then typed wget in front of all those links. And, you know, it works. It works fine.
It's effective. That's right.
It works at exactly the same speed as Cheese's one-liner, and it's just... I mean, that's what I did. It was, you know, it wasn't pretty. It was down and dirty and the long road. Now I know. But if you're scripting, or if you're writing a program, if you do anything that calls another program, hit the man page.
Hell yeah.
Now, save yourself some time, and also make your code prettier. You know, really. And you know, my code was 75 lines. That's how long my script was. You know, Cheese's was one.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess in the time it took me to write that script and to, you know, run it and upload it and put it up there for everyone to have, I probably could have read Man Wget and was like, oh, sweet, yeah, you can do that. Just only go one link deep, you know? But I mean, and so...
I think you did, honestly, I think you did something more important. I'm glad it happened this way. Because you showed, right, that an idea, that an inspiration can... This is going to sound cheesy. Sorry, man. But, you know, you brought together all these people, right, to work on this, and not even a problem, right, to work on a solution, right? Everybody just said, yeah, that's cool. Here's what I would do. And through these iterations, I learned something. I learned something in every iteration, from yours all the way down to that one-liner. And that, I think, is... I think that brought more to the community, you know, than, you know, you just reading, you know, you just doing Man Wget and then writing your script after that. I think more people benefited and more people learned, including myself, from what you did than just writing yourself and not sharing it with people.
That's not cheesy. It works better that way.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I think we should get to Logic before his phone dies.
Oh yeah.
Since you're definitely a special guest and we got a big topic, and it's actually fairly important. It's really deep, you know, deeper than a bash script, and that would be ethics. You've had I don't even want to say running. You've had something happen in your life. You did something positive, and something negative may have come from it. Do you want to lay the foundation for what we're going to talk about?
No problem. Okay, it all started about 2 weeks ago. I was on the computer at our school lab, and we were supposed to log into one of our accounts for our career services. And I don't know if you know much about security, I think you do, but the login was our student ID number, and the password was the last four digits of our ID number.
Huh.
And this account was up before we even knew about it, with all of our information up on there, which means that we were not given the opportunity to be able to change our password. So it's not like we were irresponsible. We didn't even know that our information was up here, a very insecure account. And I'd also add that it was HTTP, not HTTPS, and also the password was not masked. So, in outrage that all the students in the nation's privacy was violated, I brought it up to one of my favorite, and he was in agreement with me. We're both...
Woo! You are breaking up bad.
You cut that hard.
She took it to some high... I was, we had a senior project fair, and it was almost 15 minutes before it.
Whoa, can we stop, can I stop you right there?
Yeah, no problem.
You broke up really bad. I think, I'm pretty sure I know what you said, and I want to let everybody know what you said. Correct me if I'm wrong, you went to one of your favorite teachers and let that teacher know about these privacy concerns, and what did that teacher do with it?
She took it to the higher authorities, is what she did.
Okay.
So the next day, we had a senior project fair, something we've been preparing for about 3 years.
Wow.
And about 15 minutes beforehand, the men in black in my school, which would be like the dean of students and the director of student services, took me down all the back holes I've never seen in my school, down to the dean's office. And he put the tape recorder on and interrogated me. He told me that they had to shut down the whole system for the school nationally. And he told me to read the student handbook and come back to that the next day to talk about some more issues. So here I am in this really stressful senior project, not even knowing if I'm going to be in school the next day.
Wow.
And all this time, what I did was completely ethical. I accidentally got into the first account because I didn't have my ID number memorized.
And then the mistake I might have made was I got three more accounts because, well, I got the ID numbers from the print queue, which is not that hard to do. You don't have to be a hacker to do that, really. And they said I was violating all the students' privacy. So once they put that on me, I started making awareness go around the school, started to petition, got all the students on my side, had a couple of deans, a few faculty on my side, and I had a hearing. I wanted to make it public, but they wouldn't let me do that, so that was kind of a bummer. But fortunately, I got it reduced down to suspension for 1 week, which I'm still pretty ticked about, but it's better than getting kicked out. I'm supposed to do a 20-page report on corporate ethics, which I find hilarious. I don't even want to get rid of that punishment. I find it kind of fun because I can talk about how bad this school is. And, I mean, I know a little bit about corporateness because I'm a rent-a-cop at one of the most corporate buildings in existence. So I think I have my 2 cents on that. And I think I would love to do that assignment to make them look like idiots. And my other thing is 10 hours of community service, which is like watching the bike racks at the school or whatever. Kind of yawn right there.
Yeah.
I'm really ticked off that they didn't just shake my hand in the beginning and say thank you. That's what a lot of people thought that should have happened.
Yeah, that's definitely should have happened. I want to make sure that you don't say anything that you don't want to say, right?
Yeah.
Or how should I say, that you would regret saying. So just want to make sure that doesn't happen. You talked about ethics. You think you did what's ethically sound. You think they should have thanked you? I totally agree. Even with getting the information in 3 accounts, and you didn't go into the accounts, you didn't do anything with the accounts, you just basically got proof, right? And I would think 3, that's definitely not a statistically, a statistically solid number, right, to show them, hey, it's absolutely, you can get in, right? But I think it's enough to show them that, yeah, you can get in.
That's why I did it, too, to show that it was no fluke, because it would not have taken me seriously if I just showed I could accidentally get into 1.
Right, yeah, what are you going to do, get into 30? Okay, now I got a 95% confidence interval, here you go. No, you're not. You're going to, you do a few, say, oh, there you go, I didn't do anything else, there it is. And I come right to you, right? You can go to the logs if you want, check it out. I think that's perfectly feasible. That would show me, especially if I'm, technologically savvy, somebody running the computer system, hey, he can get into all these.
Uh-huh.
Very easily. And they smacked you down, basically. I don't want to say anything bad either. Maybe at the end I'll carefully say what I feel about this.
I have a couple things to add before you finish, though.
Please do. Oh, we're not done yet.
Okay.
Go for it.
You ready? Okay. Yeah. Well, one thing, they did try to put a charge of tampering on me.
Really?
And during the hearing, I totally blew that one out of the water. They had to take it back because it looked like idiots for even coming up with that charge because I gave them the definition in the dictionary. And tampering means changing, and I did know changing, so they looked kind of dumb. I made them look even dumber to falsely accuse me of things that I didn't do, which that was kind of, I felt pretty good about that. And another thing, when you mentioned, I mentioned it too, but the privacy that I violated of the other students.
Right.
Well, I happened to get on my petition the signature of the first student I violated. And he was part of my panel for the hearing, even though they didn't let him speak. another messed up story itself, but, I mean, it was pretty obvious that the student body was totally on my side and was very irritated about how their privacy was violated when I made everybody aware of it. And the biggest thing, I can't say this for certain, but there's a lot of implications. I would have been expelled if I did not fight it. And I did fight it a lot. I mean, I gave myself like a severe case of heartburn where I was burping up blood,
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. You should be very proud of yourself, by the way. Many people may not have had the guts, really, to do what you did, right? I think anybody that would do what you did to begin with, right, to say, hey, I accidentally found this, and I want to let people know so this doesn't continue, right, instead of going, oh, shit, I hope I don't get busted for this, and then not say anything, has guts right there, straight up. And then to fight it like
right,
you did.
Right, because what they're doing now is encouraging people, or I should say discouraging people, from pointing out flaws that could turn very, very dangerous.
Oh, yeah, just think what could happen with all that information, right? What if somebody's an ass in that school? Anyway, we're not going to go into you know what people could do with what you know what you did. Definitely don't want to talk about that right now.
No, it's worse is they used to have our ID numbers as our social security numbers about two years back.
Just imagine that
with the name, phone number, address, email address, all that information.
Yeah, you would basically own somebody. We're actually going to be calling. Well, I'll go ahead and pimp it now. We're going to be calling Citibank ID Theft Recovery Assistance. We're going to be calling that number at the end, so this is very apropos. You talked about, we said ethics. This is the topic, ethics, right? White hat hacking, basically. You brought up the IEEE Code of Ethics. Did you know about it? Did you study it beforehand, or did you bust it out and study it for your hearing? Oh, I think we lost him. Bland, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Crap. Curse PCS.
Even though Catherine Zeta-Jones is really, really hot.
Is she?
Yeah,
I guess she is.
Oh, she's T-Mobile on there anyway.
All right, let me... that's GSM, I think. All right, let me... crap, it's just getting good. You there? Okay, and I'm not stopping recording, by the way. I will... No, hell no. This is Radio Freak America. We got to deal with it. The audacity keeps on churning. Soon to be resound. All right, let me... what did I do with this number? Okay, I'm going to dial him up here. Hold on a second. All right, we're dialing him up now. Okay. It is ringing. And if I get his voicemail, I will be not happy. Because he is where he's at, there might not be any PCS service. That's why I have TDMA, so I can go anywhere and have service, pretty much. Oh, this sucks. There we go. All right, let me put you back on speaker. There we go. PCS is a wonderful thing. Okay. We're all back now. I don't know how much you heard. Logic, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I blame this on Gilbert, man. My signal faded.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know if you heard what I was saying. I was talking about the IEEE Code of Ethics. I want to know if you'd studied it beforehand or you busted it out just for the hearing.
I knew about it, but I didn't start actually reading it until it happened. But, I mean, I very well understood it. I just didn't know it word for word.
And was it effective for you? I mean, did it help you?
I think it was effective in the hearing when I brought up the name of the organization, because I think that IEEE Code of Ethics kind of trumps their policy.
I would think so. Can I take this opportunity now to tell you what I think, honestly?
Sure.
I think that such a... I think I wrote something very similar on the DC 602 forums, that such a supposedly technologically savvy institution is basically embarrassed, right? They have lost faith, and they basically wanted to smack you down, you know, put the thumb on you so you don't talk, right? Basically get rid of you. Right? Make you seem like a criminal, essentially, right? Treat you like a criminal with hearings and charges. Please. You're a student who is helping the other students. That is what you are. Right? Is that wrong? Is that...
No, that's exactly how it goes. The people that were in charge of discipline were not technically savvy, and they didn't want to look stupid, so they needed a scapegoat.
And you're the one. And all you try to do... All you did do, because I'm assuming, have they fixed it?
They did fix it. In fact, later, the day of the senior project fair, they gave everybody an email saying that we changed your password. But they didn't even mention that anything happened. And also they said that, respect your privacy, we change your passwords occasionally. Well, I asked everybody that's been there for years longer than me if they've ever had their password changed, and the answer was no. And this system has only been up for maybe 8 months.
Yes.
They're falsely claiming things too. It's ridiculous.
That is totally ridiculous. It's definitely absurd. I gotta ask, to be fair to the other two people, what did you have contact with them? Did you talk to them? What did they say?
Are you referring to the Dean of Students and Director of Student Services?
No, I'm sorry. You said you got the signature of the you access three or you is that right to say you even access the accounts?
It is correct to say I accessed the accounts.
Okay, so and you said you spoke to one or the one person actually signed your petition, right? What about the other two?
It's actually three others. The first one was a mistake, and then I got three others.
Okay, so the mistake...
I was not able to contact the three others. I very well could have because, you know, their information is right there.
right.
I didn't know where they were. It probably would have been a good idea to try to find them because that might make me look even worse.
Right.
But the first student I did get access to, he had been in some of my classes a few semesters back, so I came up to him and I, you know, told him about it, showed him the petition, and he looked at that and he was like, "Yeah, this is absurd. I can't believe they did this." And he didn't look at me like, you know, I'm some kind of criminal. He actually kind of did thank me, and he signed the petition. And I asked him if he could be on my panel, and he was kind of out of his way because this was finals week when we had the hearing, but he was still able to make it. And he wasn't able to say one word because most of it was closed to my panel. They only let me into the hearing.
Really?
That's kind of a whole different story, which is kind of messed up. But the whole way that they've handled this has kind of irritated me in the least.
Yeah, it sounds a little lopsided.
Very.
Yeah, well, props to that guy. He has guts as well. Yeah, you know what? All you've done, you know, I don't know if they know you're part of another community, but all you've done is make our community look good. All you've done is tried to help your community, being the students, right? And their, you know, ignorance is basically holding them back. And if any, I definitely think much less of this institution, you know. To see somebody as smart as you go out of their way so much to put yourself on the line, right? Because who knows what could have happened. Apparently you found out. To, you know, do the things you do, it's phenomenal.
I got 4 months to graduate, and when I graduate, I'll totally say who it is. It was a specific building. I don't care if they try to sue me after that. I'll have my degree.
Yes, so let's, we'll keep this nice and clean. And I think it has been. Are you pretty satisfied? Nothing's too risque?
I'm satisfied.
Good deal. Bland, your take on all of this.
And if I start giving my opinion... I'm going to break a rule.
then we'll wait, maybe. We'll wait a few months. I think patience will do. And
good, because I'm going to let this pressure cook.
Yeah. There's actually I'm not even going to bring it up. I won't even bring it up. Now, Logic, you're in, not the latest issue, which is a whole other topic. Which we may get to, but you're in the last issue, the summer 2003 issue of 2600 with hardware keylogging.
That's correct. Great article.
Yeah, great article. I enjoyed that immensely. Is that your first?
Yeah, that's my first.
Did you get your T-shirt yet?
Actually, I haven't.
What?
I even questioned them about it and got no response, but no, I don't really care that much. I was just happy that my article got through, but
yeah.
I didn't get crap.
Oh, dude, you should be getting it. What do you get? What do you get, Bland?
Get 1 year and a T-shirt.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, I think they took 1 year off. I checked out on the site, and now they only list that you get a T-shirt after the first article and then an email address after the second article.
Well, you
don't hold your breath for that email
address. Yeah, you definitely don't get the email address. definitely got the T-shirt. The thing is, well, anyways, I'm a pretty skinny guy, right? And they're always sending, like, extra large and shit. I think maybe I got a large last time. I don't know. Fuck, I can't wear these shirts. It's like a dress. Oh, I swore!
A blue box one, and that one is pretty big.
Yeah, so, you know, hey, man, good luck. I hope you get it. Very good article. We've had a lot of people, even before your article came out, wanting to know about keylogging. I don't know why it's so popular. Well, I guess I could imagine why it's so popular.
It's a cheap way to get people's passwords, baby.
I guess so. Sniffing traffic or keyloggers. Way to go! You actually built a hardware keylogger. I don't want to go into the technical details on the show, and it works well, I'm assuming.
Huh?
You built a hardware keylogger yourself? Whoa! Did we lose you?
I can still hear you.
There we go. Okay, I think you're there. You know what's weird? Your PCS. You've also sounded like modulated at times, like when Meme would come on and she'd bust out her her voice modulator. Very cool. It's got a very cool sound.
Spend money, I guess.
Yeah. Can you recommend, now, software key loggers are freely available. You can download them for free, put them on your box. Some will show up in the task manager if it's Windows, you know, blah, blah, blah. Have fun with them. There's also, now you also talked about another, of course you built your own, but also another hardware key logger that I think is probably more accessible to people and probably really universal. And what's the name of that?
I think there's actually a couple different ones, but the one I'm familiar with is called KeyCatcher.
KeyCatcher. I think I've heard about that, and it is...
I brought it to a meeting several months back, but...
Oh, man, I missed it. It's basically a keyboard wedge, right? It's a wedge, basically, right?
It's not still in catch what you said, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's it basically goes right in the PS2 port in between your box and the keyboard.
It does.
And how much memory... How much memory does it have?
I got cut off. I didn't hear what you said.
The joys of cell phones. How much?
Oh, yeah.
How much memory? I think you can buy a couple of levels. How much memory does the key catcher have?
Okay, the lowest one is 32K. The next one up is 64K, and they have a newer one out. I think it's maybe about 3 months new now. Is 128K.
Wow! Now that can hold a lot of keystrokes.
Yeah, actually, I'm glad to actually hear that, because a lot of people are like, that's not a lot, you know, but I mean, as far as text goes, that's plenty.
Yeah, that's, you'll get what you need with that. And do you know how much that new one costs?
The new one, I don't know. The one I had, I can't seem to find it, which is no good, but I had the 64K one, and I think I paid 80 for it.
80 bucks?
Which, I mean, it is quite a bit, but to make one yourself, I mean, the microcontroller in itself that I bought to make it was about 80 bucks.
Oh, really?
It's making it would actually be more expensive. It's the only advantage of making it is it's fun and you learn a lot.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Now, you said there are others.
I'm not too sure about the others, but I know KeyCatcher you can buy at Spy Headquarters.
Yes, that is a local chain. I dig that chain, by the way. It's a local chain of, what would you call them? I guess Spy Headquarters. If you're like an amateur spy or a security guy or maybe you're a PI, I guess that's where you would shop. That's the best way I could describe these stores. It's a small chain in Phoenix. Very cool places. I actually bought How to Screw the Post Office there, right? So they've got the other kind of wacky right-wing militant kind of stuff, you know, how to live on, you know, cardboard and matches for a month and shit like that. So, but they've got some phone stuff there. And
they got the Legion of Doom books, like, not too long ago.
Oh, really? And apparently they have key catchers there. There might be other stores like that in your metropolitan area. Check it out. I'm dying to use a key catcher just to use it. I've used some software key loggers on my own boxes, mind you, you know, just to test them out, and yeah, they work, and yeah, you can see them, but yeah, you know, it's kind of boring, personally.
Well, see, the thing about a hardware one is it goes beyond the software. If you want to get a BIOS password or something, a software key logger is not going to do much for you.
Ah, very good point.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
It works once it gets power. I mean, you don't have to have the operating system loaded for it to work.
Right. One of the reasons I really enjoyed your article is that it kind of goes into physical security, right? Because of that very fact, you have to get physical access to the box if it was somebody else's box, right?
Yeah.
And what does that entail? That entails, defeating your physical security or you're an insider, basically, and you have authorized access up to some point, that point being, you know, unplugging the keyboard, sticking it in, and plugging it back in. After I read your article, I look around the back of my box, straight up, dude. Very useful thing. So everybody listening right now, stand up, right? Get out of your freaking lazy boy in front of your LCD monitor and look in the back of your box and make sure nothing is there.
My roommates do.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah, what's physical dimensions on that?
Take a look at the connector on the back of the keyboard. It's probably about maybe as long or maybe 150% as long as that, and it's just about as wide around. So it looks almost exactly like just a PS2 adapter for something else.
Now, is it The same color? Is it that nasty beige that everything else is? Or is it...
Yeah, it's beige. It's
okay. Well, you know, a lot of computer companies now, and keyboard companies as well, they're making it purple. I don't know why that's the universal color code, right, for people who can't figure out which one goes where, but...
That's what it's for.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a different color. So maybe you can get, like, some, you know, I don't know, purple electrical tape or something and mesh the two together so they look the same, you know, because if it's a different color. I don't know, just an idea. Or make sure that person has a beige connector on their keyboard. Very nice. Very nice. I'm very glad we got you on.
Get an extension for it and connect the key catcher down on the floor or something.
Oh, that's a great idea. Out of the way. Yeah, I know a lot of people with extension cords on their keyboards.
Yeah, even the people that you just told us to step and look in the back of the computer, that may not even work.
Yeah, no doubt. Very nice.
Let's chase the whole cord.
I cannot thank you enough for being on the show. I think it's been about a half hour. Your battery's probably getting pretty low right now.
Yeah, there's one ball when you call up.
Very nice. Well, I will definitely be seeing you at the next meeting. I will be there. I'm hoping to bring a bunch of boxes. Believe it or not, there are some freak boxes at work out there, and you can make them dirt cheap. So, Logic Man, thank you very much for being on the show. I hope we can get you on again. If you got anything else, you know, you want to talk about, let me know. We'll get you on.
No problem. I thank you for letting me be on the show and getting my word out about the school.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about that more for sure. Good luck to you, and you know, keep it straight, man. Get that diploma.
Thanks.
Later on, man.
Later.
Bland.
Yo.
Was that not the sweetest shiz ever?
Dude, I got a chubby. I kid you not, man.
Yeah, that was a very nice interview. Not. Let me clarify here. Him getting, you know, smacked down by the man is not sweet.
Oh, no, his fighting back is sweet.
Hell yeah, and him being on the show and sharing it with us, right? Sharing it with everybody.
Oh,
it's freaking sweet.
At the risk of sounding cheesy, I am straight up, I am honored to be on the same, to share a show with him in his situation. You know, that I could even be around while he's doing everything he can to really put it back on him, to really show the oppressors, you know, that there, here's one, you know, here's one you're not going to hammer down. I'm going to come back. I'm going to fight. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to help keep your students, your clients, for, like, you know, and that's really what it boils down to. Keep your clients' information safe, even in spite of you.
Wow.
No, and I'm just, man, I'm honored to be on.
As am I. Well said, Bland. Yeah, his one man standing up against this institution, right? No, one man standing up for all of the other students there. Yes, I'm honored as well. That's straight up, that is guts right there. Straight up. I mentioned a little freaking. I think it's time. I think you would agree. Oh, there it is, son of a... Golly gee willikers. I only swore once the show, man. What did I swear about?
You buffed up when you talked about the sizing scheme of the 2600 t-shirt.
Yeah, man, come on. We're a bunch of skinny hackers just busting out these double XLs. Give me a break.
Hey, hold on.
Yeah, sorry, man. Yeah, so I dropped an F-bomb, didn't I?
Yeah, you dropped the F-bomb, and then you did a precursory shit.
That's okay, though. Because that's, well, okay, it's not all right. I'm doing my best. Freak news time, baby. Yes, it is freak news time. What do we have? We've got... it's like Christmas. It's like Christmas around here. Not that I celebrate or anything.
Yeah, you do.
I do not! I don't believe it. Dude, we're driving down the road, right? Rolling in my lowrider. And I see Sangre de Cristo, right? Sangre de Cristo. What does that mean? That means blood of Christ, right? But they can't say blood of Christ, right? No one would go. This is a church, mind you. Blood of Christ. That's nice. Isn't that pleasant? That is so nice. Okay, sorry. It's just weird. I think it's weird. It's kind of morbid. No offense. No offense to anybody of any religion. Hey, straight up respect. You got your spirituality wherever you got it. That's fine. I'm sorry, Blaine, you were saying?
Dude, okay. You know, don't even pretend, you know that you were going to buy your girl something and you're going to give it to her on or around the 25th of December.
Well, hell yeah, because it'll be a... my house would be cold hell if I don't.
And so what are you going to call that thing you're going to give her? Christmas present?
Yeah, so?
And you don't celebrate that?
Well, I'm not, like, drinking some, you know, red liquid to symbolize the blood of Christ and eating something that is his flesh, you know? I mean, no, I don't. I don't pray. I went to... Oh, my God, totally forgot about Cracker Barrel. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. But, yeah, okay, so what do I do? I mean, it's one of those socially acceptable things. And not to mention, I enjoy giving, you know, giving to others.
I enjoy receiving gifts as well.
Okay. That's a hint.
Oh.
Okay, let me, you know what, I already said it, Cracker Barrel. All right, I am emotionally, physically, spiritually, and mentally scarred from the Cracker Barrel. I went this past weekend to a Cracker Barrel. Yes, Stank, I went to the House of Stank, right?
House of Pan Stank.
Yes, I went. You know what? You know what's weird? While I was there, while I was waiting, 20-minute wait. People wait 20 minutes to eat this gravy-covered dough, okay? While waiting is 20 minutes. They've got this big, you know, mercantile-type lobby. It's just this lobby filled with junk, right? The stuff that old ladies put on their shelves, straight up, right? And candy. So the old ladies will be fat. And I call Stank. First I call Stank, right? I'm a silly, as Mute would say. I call Stank. And he busts out the psychic premonitions right there. He's as Blaine said, I got a woman. I'm with my woman. And he said, I bet your woman has something in her arms right now. Sure as you know what, she had like a raggy teddy something bear in her arms right then. I said, oh my word. It was psychotic. Psychic. It was unbelievable. And then I called Bland. And Bland, who has been to many a Cracker Barrel, if I'm correct.
Oh, I can't stand the effing Cracker Barrel, dude.
But you've been, because you described over the phone to the shoes that some woman was wearing. You described a woman that was standing right next to me. You even said, look to your left. I did. And there she was, a sweatshirt, tight, like biker shorts, and slip-on sandals. Actually, you said flip-flops, but it's damn close, right? She had those cheap black plastic slip-on things. To a T, you described her. And I was frightened. So much so that I was laughing uncontrollably in this house of horrors that is Cracker Barrel. But there is a bright spot. Yes, believe it or not, there is a ray of light in the everlasting hell that is gravy and cheese-covered fried meat. There is. At this particular Cracker Barrel, there are restrooms, thank God, because you're going to get your shit in now because you won't go for a week after eating there.
Are they locked?
They have... And next to the, okay, so here's what you got, right? You got the store, right? The mercantile place, right? It's like the old country store with all the crap. And you walk back, and there's a drinking fountain, right? There's the portal, right? And there's a drinking fountain. And then on either side of the end, there's the bathrooms, right? Well used, I'm sure. And then in between, there were, at this Cracker Barrel, there were two beat up Quest Fortress payphones. That's right. Old, beat up, paint peeling off, you know, yellow placards, nasty payphones. Oh, heaven to me. I love that. I was like, oh, I love seeing payphones. Oh, the new yellow freaking millenniums, all, you know, LCD screens. Oh, no, get them. No, go. Give me those old payphones, baby. They had it, you know, with the good metal buttons with that great feel, you know. So I started to play. Of course, Colleen and I check them out. I've got the numbers. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I pulled a quarter out of my pocket. And no, not to buy a cinnamon gumball. I pulled this quarter out to drop it in the slot. And what did I hear? When I... No, perfect. It's like the guy from Police Academy right here on the phone. I dropped the quarter. And what did I hear? Yes, I did. I heard that. What a beautiful sound. What a beautiful sound. So, yes, these phones definitely could be used to Redbox a local call. But I did no such thing because they called our name. We'd like to welcome Dual Parallel Party of Two to sit in these wobbly wooden chairs and to play the little golf tee triangle game. I was going to buy you one, dude, but I didn't see any. Oh, and check this out. We were at our table. We didn't have one of the little games. I was pissed off. We didn't have a game. But guess what? The table next to us, the big round one, yeah, that's right. They had two.
Did you nap
that stuff? Dude, no. Just like, I think like little girls were playing or something. Yeah, I should have rolled them right there. Give me that little girl. Let's go. Give me that thing.
Thank you. The only one that enjoys golf tee, the genius game. Thank.
What you gonna do? Huh? Call your grandma?
And candy that she's not gonna give you. It tastes like shit.
Oh, dude. They did have Chico sticks, though, dude. I love that, man.
Ugh.
What?
Dude, that's, like, gross, man.
Dude, that is the gold that you got off of the ice cream truck, man. Chica sticks, dude. What is it, like, peanut butter and coconut or something? I don't know what it is, but it's awesome. Anyways. Okay, so enough rambling. I got those numbers. Let's call them right now. Right freaking now!
Hey, Duel?
Yeah?
I realized that I did also partake of the beastly cussing.
That's all right, man.
It was two, so I think we're even.
Thank you very much. That means a lot to me. And anybody who doesn't like cussing, please ignore those words. Okay. Here we go. Cracker Barrel, number
cracker
one.
Cracker being the operative word.
Cracker Barrel, number one. Here we go.
Hello.
Yes, hello. My name is Blandon Quizzer. I was wondering if... I'm looking for a man. He's about 6'3". He's got darker hair. He's probably wearing a black shirt with some sort of cryptic message on it. His name is Duel. If you could just ask maybe someone around there if Duel's there, I'd really like to talk to him.
Do you know where you're calling?
Yeah, this is Cracker Barrel, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Hold on a second.
Okay. So we've got somebody looking for me at a Cracker Barrel. And I could barely hear him. Okay, I'll tell you what. We're going to do something here. Hold on. We're going to drop that guy because he cannot speak up. Doesn't he know he's on radio? We're going to call the other phone right next to it. Hold on.
Yeah, he needs to use his indoor voice.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Pull it up and I. Alright, there it is. Hold on.
Dude, be Duel looking for Bland.
Gotcha.
What?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, my name is Duel. I'm looking for a guy named Bland. This is Cracker Barrel, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking for him. He's probably wearing a blue shirt. I think it says, like, you know, Wall Martian or something. Anyway, so I know he's looking for me. I'm a little late. If he's there, I don't know if someone's in a blue shirt there, if you could, you know, yell out really quick and tell him, hey, Duel's on the phone, he'll be right there.
You know what the funny thing is he's actually on the other payphone.
What?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
I'm serious.
Okay, can you do me a favor? Is he still on?
I believe so.
Could you pick it up and tell him I'll be right there?
Oh, he hung up.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Hopefully he's on his way.
Yeah, he said he was looking for you, so he's probably on his way too.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you very much. Yes. Yes. You know what? If anything, people that go to Cracker Barrel are so helpful.
Yep, they're good country folk.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. Amen. Yeah, and that was another... Oh, no, I don't want to offend anybody. Never mind. Never mind. Okay, oh, yeah, it's Christmas. How the hell do we get on this stuff? And when I say that, you know what? It's Ramadan. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's, what's the Jewish Christmas? Hanukkah. It's all those holidays right in one. Because we've got another phone card from White Sword this time. He is giving a phone card to the community. You know, Jaga busted one out not too long ago. Well, tonight, White Sword is giving everybody a phone card to have a little freaky fun. First, the number. Give it a call. It's 800-895-7090. Again, and you know, I hate that when people leave a message for you and they're talking slow and they're babbling and like, yeah, we got a, and then this and that, and give me a call, 911-3706. Bastard, slow down. Okay, again, the number, 800-895-7090, and the PIN, well, I popped my P that time, the PIN is 469-069-5795. Did I say it twice?
The PIN you just said once.
All right, here it is again. The PIN, 469-069-5795. Now we've got some other phone calls to make here. Cracker Barrel was a success. I want to call, we mentioned the greatest browser in the world, Mozilla Firebird. I want to call Mozilla Phone Support and see what's up.
Tell them how fucking, tell them how cool they are.
I will. Hold on. La la la.
Thank you for calling Mozilla Technical Support. We are currently closed.
Damn.
Normal business hours are Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Saturday through Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please call back at this time, and we would be happy to assist you.
Thank you. Your browser does rock, and I will support you in any way I can. Hopefully I can swing it and buy that that yearly subscription. That'll just be so cool.
Yeah, I've got to do that.
Yeah, I mean, because it is. I would pay. I'd give them 20 smackers if they could get rid of IE.
Could you guys put them out of business? Here's an extra five.
Yeah, that's right. Straight up. Here's a Fitsky.
Here's a Sawbuck. Tell Netscape where to put it.
Okay, we've got another. Ooh, I want to call. Do you want to call yours next? I want to save yours for the last, because I think that would be the most fun. I want to call the Citibank ID Theft Recovery Assistance line. I don't know if that's its formal name, but I want to definitely call that. I actually saw a commercial for this, and it really caught my eye. I think it's kind of weird, but I guess it's a sign of the times. I mean, I guess it's that rampant, right? And you know, and how many people think, right, Bland? How many people think, right? Your average football watching Joe think that hackers are the people stealing identities. If anything, the hackers are like Logic and saving people's identities.
It doesn't, you know, I think, oh man, I don't know if I want to open up that can, but it doesn't take any sort of skill or technique to be a common criminal, to be, you know, I look at people, identity thieves, they're in the exact same boat in my books with spammers.
Oh yeah.
Because there's some technology involved. It's not particularly tough technology in most situations. You know, you're not lead hacks over for pulling that off. But anytime that anything like that happens, the media always goes for those darn computer users.
Yep.
So it's something that we're being, you know, they're thrusting it on us. And it's not really fair, but that's the way they do it. And frankly, Joe Football Watcher does not care in the slightest about white hat, black hat, spammer, identity theft, where's puppy, whatever. We're just those people that play on those computers all day long and don't get near enough sunshine.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, if we had more people like Logic, identity theft might not be such a problem, right? If there were enough people that would stand up to, you know, big corporations and big institutions, maybe, you know, maybe there'd be less of it. Maybe we wouldn't need a market for it, for crying out loud. A market for identity theft insurance. Did you ever think, you know, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, you can insure, I don't know, if you're a pianist, you could probably insure your hands, right? If you're a guitarist, you could probably insure your fingernails, right? Yeah. Well, let's call it. Let's see what happens.
Hey, Duel?
Yeah?
Let me go ahead and open up this can. I really want to.
Okay.
I don't know anybody who knows anybody, and that's as far as I can go and be truthful, knowingly truthful. I don't know anybody that's known anybody that's been a victim of identity theft, and I know several people, you know, at least four or five.
Right.
And I just don't know. I think that this is pretty much the virus checker of a new generation, identity theft insurance. Because remember, back in the day when you had to have a virus checker, and you had to buy that McAfee, or you had to buy that Norton, and you really had to get that, you know, you had to pay for your virus definition updates and stuff like that, and it was really big market and big business, and it was really out there, and everyone had to have one on the media, you know, here's your virus of the day, and, you know, it was just fear everywhere, and fear and consumption, baby, like peanut butter and jelly, you know, it happened.
Like Asian porn and Duel.
Like Asian porn and Duel. And so, it happened, and then, you know, everyone started kind of, you know, to this day, I don't run a virus checker, not on my Windows box. I don't open attachments for people I don't know, but I think anyone with half a brain would do that.
Right.
But, you know, and I've never had a virus. Not one. And so, I used to run a virus checker, and I ran a Grassoft, which was a free one for Windows. And it worked as well as anything else, and it was great. But now, here we have identity theft. A new buzzword. Something that's happened. It happened. I'm not saying it's never happened. I'm just saying it's not, you know, knocking on your door every 15 seconds like they would have you believe. So, the best kind of insurance, if I were to be an insurance salesman, what kind of insurance would I want to sell? I would want to sell the kind of insurance that nobody would ever make a claim on. That would be brilliant. So, let's take something that has happened. Let's take identity theft, something that does happen, and we will make insurance to insure you against identity theft for the low, low price of $10 a month. You get to sleep a lot better giving me your $10, knowing that if you're a victim of identity theft, not if your credit card's stolen, not if you drop it, not if you get pickpocketed, not if whatever, I'm just talking about if you're a victim of identity theft, then we will take care of you. And what are you going to do with that money? We're going to Vegas. Because it's completely unnecessary. Well, not completely, it's 95% unnecessary. And so those people are just walking away with your money, and they're walking away and they're spending it on God knows what, and you're never going to make a claim on it because the odds are it's never going to happen to you. And so you're just paying because they told you to pay it. You're consuming because they told you to fear it.
Yep.
And that's ridiculous.
Totally, utterly ridiculous. Now, personally, I've known people that have had it happen to them, you know, maybe not to the extent that you see these fear-inducing stories on television and magazines, but I've known people that it's happened to, at least to some level. But I totally agree with you. All they're going to do, because honestly, I don't see how any service could do anything that you can't do. I really don't. I don't see how, there's no way you paying $10 a month is going to protect you from getting your identity stolen. It's that easy and it's that invasive. Or I should say it's, there's no way. All I think they're doing is charging you, right? And I don't even know if they have a service like this. I thought I read somewhere there's like $9 a month or something like that, or I don't even know. But if they were to have such a service, all they would do are the things that people with more money than sense, time, or logic could do themselves. Credit checks, shred, watch who you give your stuff to, make sure you use SSL, a number of things. So, yeah, exactly. It's fun, man. Straight up.
I wrote a pretty good, for me, I thought it was a pretty good article. Pretty informative article at any rate. A long time back, about a year ago, I believe it went into Radical Future 2. Might have been an outbreak. Honestly, I'm sorry, I can't remember where I put it. But it was all about, it was called Social Insecurity. I think you can get it from Stank Dog's files page.
Is it on oldschoolfreak.com? I think it is.
The barcode went up there.
But oh, is this your Social Insecurity article?
Yeah.
Oh. I know I've got some. Anyways, go on.
But if you got it, you might recook it or make sure it's up there and put the link to it or whatever. But
You know, it talks about what your employer's obligations are to you. It talks about what your health provider's obligations are to you. And, you know, just it kind of goes through, you know, all these people that have your information and why it's a bad idea to do those free credit report sites that you see advertised on television and things like that. And really, it gives you the information for TRW and for the other two credit reporting agencies so that you can go through. And in some cases, you can request a free credit report. Ordinarily, it's about $5 to $10 for each one of the credit reporting companies. But there are certain states that you can live in and certain things that can happen to you that will enable you to get these credit reports for free. So you might check that out and, you know, kind of run through some of those steps that I outlined, and you can really help yourself.
Very nice. Wow. Great tips and the freaking freak news, man.
I'm sorry.
Very nice. No, I love it. I love it. I don't think we talk privacy enough, and this is a good opportunity. Well, let's call this number. Again, it's Citibank, and the number... Oh, by the way, that 800 number for Mozilla phone support, tech support, I probably know what he's going to need it, but anyways, I'll give it to you. 888-586-4539. Now, to call Citibank ID Theft Recovery Assistance, that number is 800-950-5114. Let's give it a call. Actually, I'm going to opt for it, so it'll take a second, okay?
All right.
Turn this down, because I don't want it to be loud. AT&T.
AT&T. Thank you for using AT&T. Welcome to cards. To expedite the handling of your call, please touch tone or speak your 16-digit account number now. We're sorry, but your response was not understood. Please touch tone or speak your 16-digit account number now. Please hold. For quality and training purposes, your call may be monitored and recorded.
Same here.
Right back at you.
Welcome to customer service. My name is Meg. May I please get your name?
Boy, I can barely hear you.
Hi, my name is Meg. May I please get your account number?
Yeah, I don't have that handy. I was just wondering about your ID theft insurance or ID theft assistance. Could I get some information about that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Just one moment. Let me pull that information up.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now, had you seen, like, a brochure or something on TV about that?
Yeah, frighteningly enough, I saw a commercial on television, and...
Right. Yeah, it was just something new that they just newly did, so bear with me.
Oh, no problem.
My first call I've had on that, so...
Oh!
they did tell us that we would be getting calls about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I could be your first.
Great. All right, let's see. What it is developed information to educate customers on how to protect themselves against identity theft and what to do if you do become a victim. Let's see.
Does it cost money?
No. Let's see. What it is, it's a brochure and it has all the information regarding like how to protect your mailbox, your wallet, protect your credit cards and debit cards and things like that.
Great. Could I get that mailed to me?
Yes, I'd be happy to. And are you currently a City Card member?
Boy, I don't know. I've got all these cards. Maybe my corporate card. Maybe I don't really know.
Oh, that's fine then. How do you spell your name?
I just used RFA.
RFA.
Yeah, that's the PO box I use for everything. So that's actually legal. So.
And the address?
It's a PO box, 21192.
Okay.
Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the zip is 87154.
87154.
Yeah, and just it's just capital R, capital F, capital A, so that's business name it. That's the business name, so I just use that. So if you could send that to me to that address, I'd really appreciate it.
Sure, no problem. And also, do you think that you're a victim of identity theft, or you just want the information?
Just want the information. Boy, I hope
not. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We have a number to call the Federal Trade Commission if you want needed to report a crime. So.
Oh, do you have that anyways? Just.
Yeah, and it'll be in the brochure as well. It's 1-877-ID-THEFT.
Great.
IDTHEFT.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure, no problem. Any other questions I may help you with today?
No, that's it. You did a great job on your first call, by the way.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Colleen, you have a great day.
You too. Very nice.
Very nice.
I was her first.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Was it good for you?
It was it's a little bloody, but it's all good.
Oh, that's worse than swearing.
No, it's not.
My word. Holy moly, if people at Cracker Barrel heard you say that.
Now I feel ashamed. That would be on Cracker Barrel Public Radio.
Yeah. All right, now we've got, by the way, a side note here. I just got this, little pocket PC. I just installed the Windows software, right, which is scary. And it's got two programs, one that wants to act as a server, and one that wants to access the Internet to sync this freaking thing to my box. Why the hell does it have to access the Internet, right? That is a bunch of crap.
That is crappy, man.
That's trademark dual, by the way. Bunch of crap.
You eat a Cracker Barrel, it's infecting your brain.
It is, man. So that's BS. So I pulled it off, and the little icon grays out, and it made a little beep, 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 whatever it does. Stupid. It's sick. Anyways, we'll talk about that next week. We've got a lot of PDA stuff to talk next week. So the last number, and I think probably to close the show, because I think we're over, actually. Is a number from you, Bland, and it's a damn good one.
Thank you.
Don't tell me you ain't here.
Oh, no, okay, I just drink the tea.
You just, okay, good, good. All right, let's call it. What the? Bland? Oh, no. Bland? Oh, my speakerphone died. The light's on, but the speakerphone does not work.
Really?
Oh, there we go. You're there now?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you hear anything from McDonald's?
No.
Crap. All right, I hope I don't drop you, so hold on. There we go.
Thank you for calling McDonald's customer 800 number. For information on the Monopoly Best Chance game at McDonald's, please press 1. For all other matters, please press 2.
1.
Thank you for calling about the Monopoly Best Chance game at McDonald's. Complete information about this game, including the official rules, can be found on our website at www.mcdonalds.com. Please choose from one of the following 3 options. If you're calling for information on how to get game pieces at McDonald's restaurants, please press 1. For information on how to obtain game pieces without a purchase,
ooh, ooh,
please press 2.
Ooh, ooh.
Speak with a representative, please press 3.
Which one should I press?
2 or 3.
Oh, which one? Oh, no. All right.
Calling about the Monopoly Best
2.
Game pieces and Best Buy chance pieces may be obtained without a McDonald's purchase by mailing a postage prepaid self-addressed stamped envelope with your name, address, city, state, and zip code on the self-addressed stamped envelope to Monopoly Best Chance Game at McDonald's. Game piece request, P.O. Box 1164, Young America, Minnesota 55594-1164. Vermont residents may omit return postage. Each participant may submit as many requests as he or she desires.
Woot.
But only one request, self-addressed stamped envelope, per outer envelope mailed separately will be fulfilled. One game piece, consisting of 2 Monopoly game stamps and 1 Best Buy chance piece, will be mailed in response to each mail-in request received in accordance with the foregoing instructions while supplies last. Mail-in request must be postmarked no later than November 10, 2003, and received no later than November 17, 2003. For complete details, please refer to official rules posted in all participating McDonald's restaurants or online at www.mcdonalds.com. To repeat this message, please press 1. To return to the main menu, please press star. To speak with a representative...
My DTMF doesn't work.
Zero.
Unbelievable. My DTMF doesn't work on my phone. There. Whoa.
McDonald's. Our customer service center is currently closed. Thank you for calling McDonald's. Our customer service center is...
All right. Damn, no one's there. That was pretty fun. You going to mail one off?
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I was just doing the math. To get a game piece, okay, which is two stickers and a Best Buy buck, you're going to have to buy an extra value meal, okay? You'll get one on your fries and one on your Coke. So you're going to get two game pieces for an extra value meal at $5, okay?
Right.
You're paying about 74 cents for to send a stamp and a stamped envelope. So 74 cents for a game piece instead of $5 for a game piece.
Hmm.
So I think one's odds, or your odds aren't any better. I'm sure they put all the crap ones for the free ones. You know, no one's going to win the peel-off million-dollar one for requesting a game piece for free. But, you know, it's a good idea, man.
Hell yeah, do the math right there. And is it scary or is it me? All these, you know, these cross-promotional deals going on, right? All the freaking branding and it's just frightening. McDonald's and Best Buy coming together. You know, McDonald's and their whole new scary campaign. It's just, it's frightening. It's really disturbing. I do not like it. You know, and it's, you know, media and advertising is one and the same anymore, you know? I do not shop at Walmart anymore. I definitely don't eat at McDonald's. I haven't eaten there. Can't know how long. And I'm considering, curtailing my shopping at Best Buy. Just because it's this big, scary, weird place, man. It's just, I don't like it. You know, does that make any sense? I mean, it's just like this frightening entity, right, that I don't want to support, you know? It's like this big, you know, it's like we're all these like little people, right? And there's this gigantic, big, fat, humanoid, right? That needs food constantly, you know. And all these people have to, like, you know, Egyptian slaves have to haul up food and throw it in the thing's mouth, you know, as it oozes pus, you know. that's what I think of, you know, these gigantic entities that, you know, are so invading in your lives. So
in bed with one another,
big time, man. Okay, that was a damn good show.
That's a top five show right there.
No, seriously, wow.
Yeah, it didn't get much better than that, listeners. So if you didn't like this show, we're screwed.
Yeah, you know, hey, tough. I am Duel. We were by Logic. Thank you very much. Thank you again, Logic. And Bland.
Yep.
Thank you very much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I will be talking to you soon, and I hope everybody keeps listening to RFA. Later.
Listen, I'll tell you that front a lot is incredible. Even recommended to rock the mic. Like, instead of a silence, you have me fronting into the amplifier. Point with the thumb at which MC to admire. I got high-res images of drum sounds that I loop. You get to listen to them and to me, too. How fortunate y'all are to get to bask under my glow. The MC, humble conduit to nerdcore flow.
Now it's time for a little brag of that. While I swing my arms like Ralph Macchio. Now it's time for a little braggadocio. While I swing my arms like Ralph Macchio.
And the trophy for most awesomest rapper ever goes to... Sorry, having some trouble with the envelope. Holy shit, it's MC Frontalot. I stand 77 feet tall. I got 8 balls. And all y'all are subject to my thrall. I act